I'm thankful for all of you this morning. I'm thankful for the Lord's leadership and guidance most of all, because that's who we're supposed to follow. There'd be another word on your heart this morning before we go any further. This is His service. It's not mine and it's not yours. We just need to follow Him in everything we need to do. Anything at all. If not, our reading will come from Ezekiel in the 37th chapter. And I guess it will fall right in line with some of the things that have been said and done here today. But this is our thought and our lesson nonetheless. And we're going to read the 1st through the 14th verse. And it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it, and have performed it, saith the Lord. And our thought this morning, if we were to put a title on it, would be, We've got to knock the dust off. That seems kind of like a silly title, I know, but the Lord gave that to me in that way. And as I began to think about what Ezekiel had happened here, and I began to think about just exactly what was taking place, and I thought about Ezekiel and how the Lord carried him out in the Spirit, and he placed him in this valley. And I can no doubt see this valley and all of these bones. As Ezekiel looked out and he saw all of these bones, and he just saw this desert and this great famine that was there. And no doubt he looked out and he thought, Oh Lord, what are you placing me here for? Why am I here to speak to these bones? There's nothing here. There's no living things here. So why am I here to speak to them? And it says, And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And I thought about what he said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Can these bones live? And I began to think about maybe what Ezekiel, what God had asked him, and he asked him, he said, Can these bones live again? Can these bones that are dry, that look so dead, can they live again? And he answered the Lord and he said, Oh God, you know they can. You know they can live again. And I thought about what Ezekiel must have felt as he was standing before this great valley and all of these dry bones. And I can guarantee you there was a lot of dust that was there. I can guarantee you these bones, as they lay in the hot sun, they began to bake, and there was no life there. It looked like to anybody that would have passed by, there was just nothing there to see, just pass on by. There's nothing more to happen there. And what did the Lord tell him? He said, You go and you prophesy unto those bones, and they may hear the word of the Lord. Let them hear the word of the Lord. And I can just imagine Ezekiel saying,
Lord, why do you want me to speak to a bunch of dead, dry bones? What good will it do for me to stand there and preach to the dry bones? But the Lord said, you go and you prophesy unto them, and they will hear the word of God.
And it says, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And it says, so I prophesied. Ezekiel done what God asked him to do. He stood before the valley of the dry bones and he began to prophesy. He began to preach to those dry bones. And he says, I see the sinews, I see the skin beginning to form. But I don't see any breath of life in them. I don't see any life in these bones. There's things covering them, but I don't see any breath of life. And it said, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, the breath of life. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now I want you to imagine this happening before Ezekiel. I want you to imagine standing before a valley of dry bones. Just imagine going into a place where there's death everywhere. There's no hope. It looks like there's no life. And I want you to imagine the Lord telling you, prophesy to those bones and they will live. He answered the Lord. He said, oh Lord God, you know that they can live. And I believe he knew because he had faith in God that they could live. But I don't believe he understood the magnitude of what was really going to happen. And as he began to prophesy, as he began to preach to these bones, the wind came by. And that was that breath of life. And it took those bones that he looked out onto before, and there was no life. And they began to live, they began to breathe the breath of life, and it says they became an exceeding great army. Who are these dry bones this morning? Who are these dry bones we're reading about? It's the nation of Israel. Israel had gotten so wicked, and there had been many times, and we've read about them, and we've preached about them, but Israel had this way of getting real in favor with the Lord, and then they would fall out. They would have a great army, and then they wouldn't have a great army. They would do good and then they wouldn't do good. They never could be consistent in what they did. But I thought about this and it says they were an exceeding great army. You just imagine the Lord taking dry bones and turning them into a great army. They had to knock the dust off to become a great army again. Is that not the way it is for us? We've got to knock the dust off. We've got to get ourselves in shape to worship the Lord. There's a lot of times, and I believe when you've been saved by the grace of God, you have the greatest gift that there ever has been on this side of eternity. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the day that the Lord saved your soul. I want you to go back to when the Lord saved your soul, and I want you to think about what you asked God for. You were asking the Lord to save your soul. You're asking the Lord for something this world could not give you. And do you remember the very moment that God saved your soul? Do you remember the very moment that the breath of life was breathed into you? Do you remember the time when you felt like you could do anything and everything? You felt 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You thought you could take on anything there was. I remember when the Lord saved my soul. I didn't tell it for about a year. I remember when the Lord got a hold of me and I eventually told that I had been saved. And I want to get back to the year that I didn't tell I'd been saved. But I want to tell you what happened to me. Oh, when the Lord saved my soul and I began to tell that, what happens then? God begins to bless. What happens then? Then the Lord starts to bless even more. We want everybody to be saved. When God saves our soul, we at that moment are so close to the Lord. Our lives are centered around Him. But you know what happens? As we get older and as we go away from that date when the Lord saved our soul, we're still saved. But what happens to us? We become colder and colder and drier to the point that sometimes we get to the point where we're asking ourselves, are we really even saved? Do we really even have that breath of life in us anymore?
Israel had done gotten to the point where there was nothing on their bones. There was nothing left of them. Oh, but what happened to them? They began to be prophesied to, and the bones began to live.
You cannot lose your salvation. Oh, but you can lose the joy of your salvation.
You can lose that joy that accompanies salvation. And I believe salvation, the Bible tells us, is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
There's nothing in this world that compares to being saved.
But when you're saved and you're not exercising your salvation, you're just about the most miserable person that has ever lived in this world.
I've thought about times when I have become so cold and indifferent with the Lord that I was not enjoying my salvation. Oh, I had it. I'd go sit in church. I'd find my spot in the service. And they'd be singing and shouting and testifying. And boy, those people were just enjoying what God was doing in that service. And I was sitting over there just as mad as I could be. Just as upset. Just I wish those people would hush, shut up, so I can go home. I'm as saved as I can be and still sitting over there saying, I wish they'd just leave me alone so we can get out of here and go home.
Does that not happen to us sometimes? Does it not happen to the point where we have lost the joy of our salvation?
We can become just like this valley of the dry bones. And I want to get back to the thought about knocking the dust off. Have you ever had something? And we just moved here recently, and I began to pull stuff out of the closets and out of different corners of our house. And there were things that I hadn't seen since we moved into the house. It had dust all over it. It just didn't look too good. There were things that just, I cleaned them up a little bit. They might look a little bit.
I hadn't seen them. I hadn't used them in such a long time. They'd become dusty. They'd become something that I didn't even know that I had anymore. Is that not the way that it is with our hearts sometimes? Do sometimes we forget about our salvation? We'll put it in the back of our minds, put it in the back of our hearts, and forget about it. And then sometimes we get to the point, well, do I really even have it anymore? And then God comes by. We'll go back to church. We'll get back into a service, and the Lord will pass by. And the Spirit of God will get a hold of us, and then we'll knock the dust off of that old salvation.
You'll go searching for it. And then you'll remember that you've got it. And then the Lord will bless you. You know what happens when you get a blessing? You want another one. What happens when you get that blessing? You want another one.
And it's just a chain of events that follows each other. As you begin to work for God, the joys will overflow from you.
I thought about this great army. And then what did they say? They said, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. This world wants to think that God's people are dead. They want to assume that God's church is dead.
Even our own people, we have in our minds, and I've heard it preached many, many times, and I believe it's true, about the great falling away.
You've heard it preached. I know you have. We're in the great falling away. Oh, I've heard it preached so often, I could almost just tell you just exactly how a preacher could preach it. Are we really in the great falling away? Are we really in it? People want to get up and they want to paint this picture that there's no hope for us anymore, that we might as well close our doors and just lock the doors, turn the lights off, sell the building and be done.
The world wants to do that. They want to put us in that shape. They want to say, we're done with you. There's no hope for you. Just close up shop and go home and be done. Just let it be done. There's no hope. Oh, but when we listen to the Lord and when we follow the Lord and when we exercise our salvation, there is hope in our churches.
And there don't have to be a great falling away. I believe that we know and understand when they were talking about a great falling away, and I believe that we are losing people. I believe that our church has got a job to do in order to keep its people. But I don't believe that it has to be the great falling away. I believe that if we'll search out
what God wants us to do, then I believe our churches can grow and prosper again. I believe that more than anything. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have been here today. If I didn't believe that, I would have stayed at home, stayed in my bed, pulled the sheet up over me and said, have at it. But because I want to see the church grow, and because I want to see lost people saved, and because God saved my soul, and because I have that joy unspeakable and full of glory, I want to see the Lord's cause go further than it ever has before. That's what it's going to take for our churches in order to see lost people saved, in order to see our churches change back to the way they once were. I thought about Philippians in the 2nd chapter in the 12th verse. And it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And a lot of times people will take this scripture that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and they'll say, for a lost person, you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I don't believe he's talking to lost people there. I believe he was talking to saved people. Because there's no way for a lost person to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, because they would have to work for their salvation, and we don't believe in a works salvation. What was Paul telling the church at Philippi? He was telling them, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I know by looking at me this morning that you can tell that I don't exercise on a fairly regular basis. I know that's pretty evident. But if I exercise, I feel better. If I exercise and I eat right, my health is better. If I exercise and I do the things that I'm supposed to do to take care of myself, I'm working out and doing all right. The worse I feel, the less I exercise, the worse I eat fried chicken, the worse I feel. He's saying, work out your own salvation. He's saying, when you get saved, work at it. Do something with your salvation. Don't put it on a shelf and say, look at my salvation, look how pretty it looks. Work your salvation out with fear and trembling. Be ready to do something with it. God didn't say put it on a gilded shelf with a glass case around it and say, but let everybody pass by and say, oh, look, he's been saved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. And I want to stop right there for just one moment. His good pleasure. What does that mean? It means we follow the Lord. It means we let Him lead, guide, and direct in everything that we do. From the time that we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed, we need to follow the Lord. In our churches, oh, this is a point that I cannot express enough. We have got to follow the Lord in everything that we do, from the first song that is sung to the final prayer that is prayed. God has to be in our services. We have to do His good pleasure, not Taylor's good pleasure, not anybody's good pleasure, but the Lord's. We've got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Today, we in our churches, and I have visited around a lot, and when you preach on appointments, you get to visit and you get to preach in a lot of churches. And there's just some places that have the Missionary Baptist name above the door, and there's just nothing there. They're just as cold and indifferent as they can be. They're just as dry as they can be. They're just not really wanting to be there, just to be quite honest with you. I'm thankful that at Mount Calvary, you can walk in the door and you can feel the Spirit. And you can know that there are people here that want to work. There's people here that want to do the will of God. I'm glad that it's that way, because it's got to be that way. In order for the Lord to be in a place, there has to be willing workers for the Lord. There has to be. When God lays something upon your heart, do His good pleasure and do it for His sake and for the lost's sake. For this church's sake and for this world's sake. You know, I think a lot of times we think in our services that they have to be a certain way. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. One of the best things about the old-time Missionary Baptist Church is
There's no order as far as the way it's set. When we come in here, we can follow the Lord. If you want to sing all day and the Lord's in it, you just sing all day. If you want to pray all day and that's what the Lord wants us to do, we'll pray all day if that's what the Lord wants us to do. But we've got to do His good pleasure. If the Lord wants the preaching to be done, the preaching's got to be done. If the Lord doesn't want the preaching of the cross preached that day, there can be no preaching of the cross that day. We've got to knock the dust off our salvation. We've got to knock the dust off of all of these things that we've put in our lives that have placed us in these bounds, that have held us captive to the things of this world. We've got to knock the dust off so that we can use our salvation. Oh, let's please knock the dust off today. Let's knock the dust off in such a way. Let's just have us a big old cleaning party and knock the dust off. I thought about coming down here and how we'll take some pledge and we'll spray it on those nice wooden surfaces in our house and we'll take a rag and we'll wipe it off. Oh, how shiny and how pretty it looks. Let's keep it that way. I thought about the song, "The Old Ship of Zion." Its hull is bent and it's battered. Oh, our salvation is pretty. Oh, it's beautiful. I love to think about salvation. I love to talk about salvation because it is the best thing that there is. But you know what? It's going to take some dings. It's going to take some hits. It's going to take some knocks. And it's going to take its fair share of falling flat on its face. But you know what? We don't need to let the dust settle on it. We need to put some legs on our faith. We need to put some legs on our prayers and begin to work toward the Lord. We need to do His good pleasure. I thought about Mary in the book of Luke. I don't know how much more we'll read today, but I do feel very strongly about reading this. I don't believe in all of the time that I have studied and preached, I don't believe that I have ever realized these verses were in there. They're beautiful verses. Luke chapter 1 and the 46th verse. And my Bible calls it the Magnificat, and you can call it what you want to. I just think they're beautiful verses, and I think they're very applicable to today. In the 46th verse, and it says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify," or exalt, bring glory to the Lord. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And this is where it gets really beautiful to me. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And we know who Mary is. There's not a one of us here today that's probably not familiar with her. She is the one that carried Jesus Christ. The Lord God sought her out, and he found favor with her, and he allowed Mary to carry Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful that she did. I want to make this disclaimer. Mary's a very good woman, but she has no way that we can pray to her. There are people today that will get on their knees, and they'll do their different things to Mary. Look, she is a wonderful person. I'm glad that she was able to carry the Christ child, but she has no right to be prayed to. No right to be prayed to, because you know what? She's just like you and I. And you say, "Well, Brother Taylor, I cannot carry Jesus Christ." No, you cannot. Us men definitely can't. But as I began to think about this, what did he do? He found favor with Mary. And it says, "The low estate of the handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." The low estate of the handmaiden. He didn't choose somebody big and great to carry Jesus Christ. He saw the low estate of a handmaiden and chose her to bear the Christ child. And I thought about what she said, and she was talking, I believe she was talking to Elizabeth, who's John the Baptist's mother, Jesus Christ's cousin, and if you don't think this is a testimony, I don't know what is. And as she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Doesn't that sound like our testimonies today? "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul exalts the Lord. Oh Lord, let you get the honor and glory of everything that I'm doing. Lord, let me rejoice in God my Savior." We need to rejoice for the good things that God has done for us. I believe that when God lays something on your heart, people say, "Well, I cannot speak great. I can't say the things that other people do." It's not about the words that are said. It's about what comes from the heart. I've heard people say, "I can't pray because I don't know what to say to the Lord. And the only thing I can tell you to do for that one is pray like he's your best friend, because that's exactly what he is. Talk to him like he's sitting right beside you and let him know that you love him. And I always want to start my prayers with, "Thank you, Lord, for everything you have ever done for me." There are sometimes I get caught up in praying and I'll jump right into saying, "Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that." And sometimes I have to stop and say, "Lord, I've just got to thank you. Lord, I've just got to stop and say thank you." It's good to say thank you sometimes. It's good to stop and say thank you, Lord. Our services need to be about thanking the Lord. Sometimes we just have the worst days anybody can have. We'll just have bad weeks. I think there's nothing to worship the Lord about. It's just been a bad week. But we're here again today. If you got up one more time, you got one more opportunity. And I want you to think about what Mary said. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. We have nothing in this world to be unhappy about today if we've been saved by the grace of God. We have been given a home eternal one day after a while, and we have somebody that loves us and will carry us through this life for as long as he allows us to live. We've got something to be happy about. So rejoice in God, my Savior. We're going to go back to our scripture lesson this morning. We're going to try to close up here in just a few moments of time. But I also thought about this, and I thought about prayer, and I thought about blessings from the Lord, and how oftentimes we'll ask God for a blessing. And I believe God loves to give His people blessings. I believe He loves to shower blessings upon His people, and I'm thankful that He does. I'm unworthy of every single thing He's ever blessed me with. But don't you know that God loves a blessing too? God wants to be blessed, and how does He get blessed? When we follow Him. I've almost imagined sometimes the Lord just hanging out of heaven just saying, "Will somebody bless me today? Will somebody do what I'm asking you to do? Will somebody follow me? I'm up here telling you all of these things. I'm leading, I'm guiding, and I'm directing you. Will you please just bless me?" Bless the Lord, oh my soul, is written in the book of Psalms. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord for all the things that He has done for us. "My soul doth magnify the Lord," is what Mary said. Does our soul magnify the Lord today? I want to read the 14th verse of Ezekiel in 37. It come from our scripture lesson. It says, "And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place in you your own land. Then ye shall know that I the Lord hath spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live." Oh, just think about those dry bones. People would pass by and maybe people would say, "They're done. They're finished." And then what happened? They began to trust the Lord. They began to be prophesied to, and they became a great army again. Ye shall live. Our churches shall live. Our spirit shall live. But what's got to happen? We've got to follow the Lord in everything that we do. I'm thankful that Ezekiel followed the Lord, and I'm thankful that he laid this out for us today. I'm thankful that he lets us know, and I'm thankful that God lets us know that sometimes when the world sees us down and out, that's just when God's preparing us for the greatest things that are ahead. We look around sometimes, and no doubt Mount Calvary's looked around a few times, and they've said, "What in the world are we even doing anymore? We're not supposed to give up. Lord is going to do great things because ye shall live with my spirit." With my spirit in you, you'll become a great exceeding army. I'm thankful that God has still got a band of people here in the middle of Nolensville Road in Nashville, Tennessee. There's a work for us to do. And it doesn't just stop inside these four walls. It exceeds out to places that we all go throughout the week. I'm not a member of Mount Calvary Church yet, but I believe that as I'm serving as the pastor, I still have a duty to go out and tell people about the lost condition of their soul. I'm supposed to tell them about a Jesus Christ that loves them. It exceeds far outside what we do in here on Sunday morning. This is a place for us to come get fueled up so we can go through another week. It's a fueling station for our soul.
Amen.
Let's get recharged. Let's knock the dust off of this salvation that we've got. Let's not say, Lord, we're done. We're finished. Let's knock the dust off and use our salvation. God gave it to us. Exercise your salvation. There's a lot of gifts that come with salvation. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's something to shout about this morning. I would like to do this morning as we close. I'd like for Sister Faye and Brother Colin to come, and I'd like for us to sing The Longer I Serve Him. That song has been on my heart this week, and I'd like for us to sing that, stand and sing. I haven't been saved probably as long as many of you here, and maybe I've been saved longer than some. I don't know each of your heart, but the longer that we serve the Lord, the more that we love Him. The day that we get saved, there is a love there, a love that we just cannot express. But as you get older and as you begin to face the trials of this world, and as you begin to face pitfalls, the Lord becomes sweeter because you begin to call on Him and ask for Him in everything that you do. The longer you serve Him, the sweeter He'll grow. I'm thankful for that this morning. He's sweeter to me today than He was yesterday. And you might say, well, that sounds pretty bad. I need Him more today than I did yesterday. I'm glad He's there when I call Him. Let's stand and sing, 65. Brother Colin and Sister Faye.
Thank you.
new suite this morning. I'm glad that I get to serve him. Sometimes we look at service as a bad thing. We look at it as something we're obligated to do. And each time that I'm allowed to come into the Lord's house, and as I begin to sit down and study throughout the week, and as I think and pray, and I try to do what the Lord would have for me to do, service is sweet when you're following the Lord.
Amen.
We shouldn't look at it as a